Good morning to all of you. It's so nice to see you this morning as we worship our Lord and Savior on this high festival feast of Pentecost. Our opening hymn is, O Holy Spirit, Enter In. Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord fills the world. Alleluia. The righteous shall be glad.
They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Alleluia.
God shall arise. His enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him.
Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Exult before him.
The Lord gives the word. Behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice.
Awesome in God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel, he is the one who gives power and strength to his people.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord fills the world. Alleluia. The righteous shall be glad.
They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Alleluia.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. His wisdom and strength and honor, blessing and glory are his. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, on this day, you have taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. The whole earth had one language and a single vocabulary. As people traveled in the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used mud brick instead of stone for building material, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build a city for ourselves and a tower whose top reaches to the sky, and let us make a name for ourselves so that we will not be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people were building. The Lord said, if this is the first thing they are doing as one people who all have one language, then nothing they intend to do will be too difficult for them. Come, let's go down there and confuse their language so that they cannot understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. It was named Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like a rushing of a violent wind, came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw divided tongues that were like fire, resting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, since the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak fluently. Now there were godly Jewish men from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When this sound was heard, a crowd came together and was confused, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were completely baffled and said to one another, look, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them speaking in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and of Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring in our own languages the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed and perplexed, and they kept saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocked them and said, they are full of new wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and spoke loudly and clearly to them, men of Judea, and all you residents of Jerusalem, understand this, and listen closely to my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. On the contrary, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what God says will happen in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a rising cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And this will happen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory me to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will hold on to my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who does not love me does not hold on to my words. The word that you are hearing is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have told you these things while staying with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let it be afraid. You heard me tell you, I'm going away and am coming to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. I will not speak with you much longer, because the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I want the world to know that I love the Father, and that I am doing exactly what the Father has instructed me. Get up, let's leave this place. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Our chief hymn is Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord. Mercy and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The great festival of Pentecost is upon us. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit rushed upon the fledgling Christian church so that they were compelled to preach. What they had to preach is what you heard from the book of Acts. The end of the ages has come upon us. Sons and daughters prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. There will be signs in the heavens and signs on the earth, blood and fire and a rising cloud of smoke. The prophet Joel had said these things hundreds of years before Pentecost came, and the apostle Peter told the crowd that this is what was taking place before their eyes with the tongues of flame and the ability to speak so that others who spoke different languages could understand them. The great and glorious day of the Lord has come. This is the end of the world. Now, since this took place about 2,000 years ago, I don't think that folks can help themselves. They wonder, were Peter and the apostles mistaken? Time keeps ticking away. The sun rises and the sun sets. Things continue to go on like they have from the beginning of the world. Where is this end that Christians speak of? The end times are larger than what you might imagine. The end times are not just those last few hours or days of this old world. The end times really began with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The scriptures speak of Jesus as the first fruits of them that sleep. This is exactly what will happen at the end of the world. The resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of the harvest, and more resurrections are coming. The time is not yet quite right for that bumper crop to be gathered in. There are still a certain number of people whom God has chosen for salvation from before this world was made. These people must still be called by the gospel, enlightened by the Holy Spirit's gifts, sanctified and kept together with Jesus in the one true faith. When those last few who are to be saved are brought to faith, then the end will come. Christ will come on the clouds. The dead will be raised. Every individual will be judged by his or her maker. Those who have lived evilly will go to hell. Those who believe in Jesus are forgiven and given Jesus' righteousness as a gift. Therefore, since they are holy and they are fit, they shall live together with Almighty God in their resurrected and purified and glorified bodies. Now, what I have just told you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't hear it too much these days because people are ashamed of Jesus and his words. This is true even within the Christian church. This is true even within our own church body. Instead, some other, more socially acceptable, quote-unquote gospel is invented. Our flesh has a devil of a time believing that there's any such thing as end times, much less that we're already living in it. Therefore, this gospel of Jesus Christ meets resistance, to say the least. The Apostle Paul was laughed at in Athens when he spoke to them about the coming resurrection from the dead. You heard how the Apostle Peter at Pentecost addressed those people who were there who saw something going on, and they scoffed and they said they're all drunk. The raised eyebrows of unbelievers is nothing new. But what we cannot do in response, though we're tempted, is to alter or tailor or edit the words we as Christians have been given. Cutting out whatever is offensive can seem rather harmless. In fact, it can seem as though it would be helpful. If we tone it down on those things that make us seem like we're crazy, then we might be able to rope in a few more people and our church will grow. But what exactly has happened when we do such things is not anything good, but a new religion gets invented. There's nothing so common as people inventing religions. Everybody has a religion because everybody believes certain things that are religious. Everybody has thoughts about what will happen when we die, for example. The invention of new religions already happened in the Garden of Eden. It already happened in the Garden of Eden when the devil and the serpent invited Eve to believe something that she found to be more reasonable and palatable than what God had actually said about that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it was then, so it is now, and so it will be that the lying devil will keep doing this until he's locked away forever in hell at the end of the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ has come to put an end to all other religions. That is to say, the gospel has come as the truth to do away with the lie. This is what has always enraged people who want to hold on to lies. People want to be left alone with whatever it is that they might believe. They want to be validated in whatever hopes they might harbor about the life of the world to come. In our times, a common hope is that there is no such thing as heaven or hell. As supposed products of evolution, we simply melt back into the soil and are gone forever. But this too is a lie. This too is a false hope. For we are not the product of random chance. All people are creatures who are fearfully and wonderfully made. As creatures, we are responsible to our Creator for the life that we have lived. The sophisticated world likes to believe that they are all grown up and that they've done away with religion. But are they so sophisticated? This belief that we simply go away when we die, isn't this the very thing that the serpent said to Eve? Adam and Eve originally knew God's truth. They knew that God would punish them if they lived evilly. But what did the serpent say? You won't surely die. You already know what you want to do. You do it. You'll be fine. God won't care. He probably doesn't even exist. And the funny thing is that when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, they didn't die right away. They probably thought that the serpent was right, at least in some sense, but they also knew that something wasn't quite right. They discovered their nakedness, and they didn't like it. They covered it over. Darkness descended upon them. But it wasn't until they heard God coming through the garden that they knew for certain that they had been tricked. So it is for so many people today. People are told over and over again that there is no such thing as God. Or if they are allowed to believe that there is a God, then surely God must be some power that has nothing to do with our daily life. He's far above all other things. He doesn't care what we do. Realize that these thoughts are espoused to and taught by those who are in the highest positions of power. Those who are in our greatest institutions of learning teach these things as truth. They're held to be the great teachers of our society, but it's really not that sophisticated at all. All they're doing is repeating that lie that was told to Adam and Eve. Basically, God won't care. Do whatever you want. That was the lie that Adam and Eve held to until God came and preached the gospel to them. And just as Adam and Eve knew that something wasn't quite right, so I think it is also true for people today. We're supposed to believe that we're so advanced and sophisticated and have discovered everything that there is to know. We've built our Tower of Babel into the heavens. We've done such outstanding things with our technology that our inventions would seem like magic to people who lived in other times. But with all this being said, I don't know if there has ever been such a sad people as our people. Our people are so sad that they don't even want to have children. They think that life is too sad to bring children into it. Just like Adam and Eve, people know that there's something wrong. And they're right about that. The thing that is wrong with us couldn't be more fundamental. We creatures have estranged ourselves by our sins from our Creator. We judge ourselves just like Adam and Eve did, and we don't like what we see. We try to cover our nakedness. We go and hide in the bushes rather than face our Creator or any direct talk about Him. We don't want to be further exposed. We don't want to be further judged. We tell ourselves then, everything's hunky-dory. But what kind of life is this? But people put up with it. And they make the best of it. Why? Because they don't believe that there is any alternative. Pentecost. That is the alternative that is declared to us. The end of the ages has come upon us. The fullness of God's revelation is before us. And what does God reveal in that revelation? He reveals that although you deserve nothing from God but His punishment, both now in this life as well as eternally in the next, He has sent His only begotten Son to suffer and to be punished in your place. By the atoning sacrifice that Jesus has made on the cross, you have been reconciled to your Creator. It does not matter what sins you have committed in the past. You should not fear the sins that you will unfortunately commit in the future. Jesus is more powerful than your sins. He has dealt with them. Between you and God, there is peace. Not a fake peace
Not a peace where God just pretends that he doesn't see whatever it is that you've done. No, the Father is fully satisfied with the Son and with the atonement that the Son has made, and therefore God is fully satisfied with you who have been baptized into him and who believe in him. Pentecost changed the lives of the apostles and all those who became Christians. Those folks were no longer believing that they could make their own way. They quit believing in all the towers of Babel, whether they be ancient or modern. They were living a new life in fellowship with their Creator. They no longer looked forward to being rich with earthly treasures. They were already rich with the precious blood of Jesus, which saves all who call upon it. Their perspectives were widened so that they no longer thought of life as being this world only. There's a life of the world to come. Now, in fact, we are in the wilderness. And beyond the Jordan, there's a promised land flowing with milk and honey. Accordingly, these folks spoke to their friends. They spoke to their family. They spoke to their neighbors. And so it has happened that the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been passed down to us to this very day and this very hour. It is not possible for us mere mortals to trace the lineage of the gospel that was heard all the way back in Pentecost down to the present day. But God knows how it has happened. Peter and the apostles and all the rest of the Christians preached the gospel, and those who believed them preached in turn, and so it went, so on and so forth, until the gospel was preached to you. But it probably wasn't just one person. Your parents probably preached to you. They had you baptized. Pastors in the past have preached to you. Your family members have preached to you. I'm preaching to you. God willing, you have also preached to others. All Christians are called upon to preach the gospel whenever and wherever the opportunity to do so arises. You have not been asked to do this for a congregation like you've asked me to preach for you, but you are certainly called upon to speak the saving gospel to those you know. I tell you what, very often people will listen more carefully to what you have to say to them than they will with me. That's because people assume that I have to say whatever it is that I say because I'm a preacher. It's my job. But if you take the risk, if you put your relationship with that person on the line and speak the gospel, that person will note that. And so I wish you all a blessed Pentecost today. Today I'd like you to realize what goodness God has worked in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you should know the truth that overcomes the devil's lies. You know the truth that your salvation is assured in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus you have peace. You have hope that no one can take away from you. For through the blood of Jesus you've been reconciled to your Creator. And on this Pentecost, I'd also like you to see your role in moving the ball forward when it comes to the saving gospel. God has freely given to you through the preaching of many Christians, some called to be preachers, but many more who were not so called. You have been given to. Now you give. Tell others the truth. Help them to be a disciple. Encourage them to go to church. Let them know that they can learn how to be a Christian. Your pastor will teach them the catechism. Teaching the catechism is probably the most important job that a pastor has. I'm not saying this so that we grow in numbers and become some big Mondo congregation. Who cares about the size of our congregation? This congregation will not last forever. No congregation will last forever. But the gospel that is preached through the members of the congregation, that will go on. We're living in the end times. The fullness of God's revelation has been given to us. We know the truth that comes. We know the truth that overcomes the devil's lies so that people are saved through faith in Jesus. Preaching this to those you know and love is the nicest thing that you can ever do for a person, regardless of how it might be received by them. The peace of Jesus be with you in this. In the world you'll have trouble, Jesus says, but in me you have peace. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For all baptized believers, that they would be given ears to hear and learn all that the Holy Spirit teaches them about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the salvation they have through him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithfulness of all those whom the Lord of the harvest sends into his vineyard of grace, that the number of those who call on the name of the Lord and are saved would be increased, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For spiritual renewal in our congregation, district, synod, and whole church on earth, that by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit we would long to keep Christ's word, dwell in his peace, and sing God's praises and love our neighbors, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the enemies of Christ's church, that they would have their hearts turned and be brought to repentance and faith and thus share in the blessings received by all believers in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those placed in authority over us, that they would strive for peace in the nation and among the nations, and that the people of our world would be blessed to live in peace and quietness, unhindered by threats of violence, oppression, or fear. For an end to the pandemic and to relieve all the suffering and strife that has come along with it, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are suffering or experiencing trials and tribulations of any sort, including Linda, Alex, Kathy, that they would receive the care and support they need, that they would be reminded and believe in the glory that awaits those who believe in Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ, all honor, glory, and worship is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Closing hymn is Holy Spirit Ever Dwelling.
Thank you.
ceaseless strife. Holy Spirit, ever forming in the church the mind of Christ, you we praise with endless worship for your gifts and fruits on Christ. Holy Spirit, ever working through the church's ministry, quickening, strengthening, and absolving, setting captive sinners free. Holy Spirit, ever binding age to age and soul to soul, in communion never ending, you we worship and extol.
Good morning again to all of you. Just want to talk a little bit about next Sunday. So June 7th, that's this next coming Sunday, we will have communion here for our radio service in the parking lot. So if you'd like to receive communion that day, what I ask is that you bring a clean plate from home, and that way there's no kind of transfer between you and us. I can place the elements on that plate. If you're concerned about the safety of that, we can work out arrangements otherwise for receiving communion. And also, you can still come to this service, and you can just let me know that you'd not like to receive communion that day. So for sure, we'll have this radio service tomorrow or next week at 10 o'clock. And then our leadership and our congregations will be discussing how we'll go forward from there. I know that there are folks who really appreciate the safety involved in these radio services, and so I think we will in some shape or form have a radio service or a radio that's still you can tune into your radio. So don't be concerned that if we do decide to worship again in our sanctuaries that the radio is absolutely going away. That's not the case. Okay. I wish you God's blessings on this beautiful day, beautiful Pentecost day.